I called it. Totally called it. It's the news. According to me. Well, like I said, the chaos just continues. News media is fighting amongst themselves now. They're pretty much all on the same team, but there's some interesting things happening here, folks. It's just interesting all around. The most interesting thing, I think, is what's in my cup. I have it's the same as it was yesterday. So if you're wondering what I have in my cup, just go back to yesterday's show. Listen to yesterday's show. If you didn't listen to it, you have to go back and listen to yesterday's show. Or you can listen to tomorrow's show because it's probably the same thing again. Either way, you'll know what's in my cup. Now, my backup cup, same thing. It's the same thing I had yesterday. It's the same thing I'll have tomorrow. So I'm going to leave it a mystery for those of you who, maybe this is the first time you've heard the show. Now you have to go back and listen to the past show, yesterday's show. Well, in the day before that. I'm in a little bit of a rut, I have to say. Because I'm still at my home studio. Now, this morning, my feet are standing, and I'm sitting in water here this morning. We got a torrential rain yesterday afternoon, and then another torrential rain last night. Roads are flooded here all over the place. I'm glad I fixed some of the issues with some of our basement issues that normally, it stayed dry pretty much into the night until at some point everything was just oversaturated and it just started coming back in. We have a walkout basement. It doesn't flood because, it'll walk out. The water just walks out because the backside here is on ground level. So we don't have a, it can't really flood. It can't fill up with water, but it would if it could. But at some point, the field tile, everything just fills up and there's no place for the water to go. And so I've got a rather large shop vac and I've been using that I filled it up twice so far. I'm probably going to fill it up about another three or four times before I get all this water out of here. But it's at the point now where I can at least do the show. Now, I still hear some more water coming in, apparently through one particular area. And I'm pretty sure it's an area where there's some groundhogs that have made their way underneath I have a patio outside. And I'm pretty sure water has crept into that area and is now seeping into the basement. Well, that's just my theory. I don't know. I haven't done any scuba diving. Maybe later today I'll dive down in there and see what's going on. They're large groundhogs, pretty good size. There's critters everywhere. Yeah. So we have chaos, and I called a couple things here, and it's of course now that the phone calls are continuing. A lot of things to be concerned about right now. I don't know how I'm not having a brain, Biden moment here. How to piece all these pieces. Now I'm having a Biden moment. How to piece all the pieces. How to put all the pieces of the puzzle. Peter Piper picked a pail of pink petroleum. I don't know. I don't know how to. There's a lot of pieces to this puzzle. A lot of factions. This is not just a civil war. It's not just two factors now. This anymore. This is many factors going on. You have the news media that is all of a sudden surprised. Oh my, we had no idea Joe was like this. We've been saying this the whole, for the last 4 years. Joe is on the decline. Joe's having problems. Joe is mentally incompetent. You've got other people who are saying, oh, he just had one bad night. Now they're backtracking, realizing, hey, we can't. He's not stepping down. There's nothing we can do about this. One commentator this morning I heard admitted Joe holds all the cards. He is the presumptive nominee. You can't change that. You can't just take him out without the 25th Amendment. Without declaring him mentally incompetent. What are they going to do? Because now, here's the problem. And I think they're going to pull this. I'm about 60% sure now that Joe Biden is not going to be on the ticket in November. Now, I hear people saying, oh, no, Joe's going to be on the ticket. Newt Gingrich, bless his little heart. I have heard Newt say some things in the past. There was a time when Newt was running for president, and he's a very intelligent man. Don't get me wrong. He's an extremely, or at least he's perceived to be an extremely intelligent man. Behind the scenes, and what most people didn't realize was when he was running for president, he was an extreme establishment person. The Republicans didn't really see things as establishment, anti-establishment back then. It wasn't, you know, those that are in on the inside. They didn't really see what was baking in the cake there. And a lot of Republicans, a lot of them that I know, good friends of mine, thought that Newt Gingrich was the option. And he probably would not have been a bad option necessarily. But there was a lot of things going on in Newt Gingrich's life, personally, and unfortunately there was some corruption there that was never brought to light. And I don't know that it ever will. I don't think it ever will be, because he's now the Newt Gingrich that I've seen in the last 7 years. Actually, the last probably 8-9 years. Very different guy. He went through a tremendous humbling, and he probably has a lot better grip on current affairs and political principles than he did back then, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Now, Mike Pompeo is of the same ilk. Pompeo will say all the right things. There are people that Mike Pompeo rubs elbows with, among certain religious groups. He does this on purpose. Keep in mind, Mike Pompeo was the head of certain intelligence agencies in our country. These are the people that concern me. Very rarely does someone in the deep state, in the administrative state of things, change their spots. And I just don't. I heard him come out and he was campaigning and he said some things about what he believes, you know, what his religion is and all those kinds of things. And I he said all the right things. That bothers me as much as having a lot of disagreements with somebody. If somebody says mostly the right things and has a few, but at the end of the day, their policies and what happens behind this, you know, in all that, it is really what is most concerning. And Mike Pompeo's establishment, deep state ties and ties to the military industrial complex concern me more than anything. Even though he's saying all the right things morally. Now, Mike Johnson is very similar to that. Oh, I get up and I have my devotions and I do this and I do that. Sounds like a very, you know, grounded individual who has this close walk with God. And that all works really well. The problem is when you have that kind of persona, when you have that kind of brand, any little thing in your closet that the FBI can find, you will be terrified to death of it coming out. Donald Trump is not one of those individuals. He has lived his life in public most of his life. Most of my lifetime, I've known who Donald Trump is, and I've known all about his dirty secrets. That aren't secrets at all. Everybody knows all about him. So when you do an investigation on the guy, well, this, yeah, we all knew this. Oh, look, he might have done this. Well, yeah, okay, well, so that's, everybody knows that. It was public knowledge, and we still voted for the guy. Because we know what we're getting, and he's not establishment. He's not tied to the deep state. The only reason he's running is because he loves this country. Oh, no, he's running to keep himself out of jail. Well, why did he run the first time? He wasn't being threatened with jail then. In fact, it was a clown show, according to the left. They were just, oh, look at this clown show. Oh, they're going to put this guy up against Hillary Clinton. There's no way she loses. We don't even have to try to rig this one. This is going to be an easy. This is going to be a slam dunk. And then they wake up to all the crying and the whining and the, oh my, you know, oh no, the country's doomed. We're doomed. Well, it's going to be even worse this time because now he's seeking vengeance. And he's got immunity. The Supreme Court has given him immunity to do whatever he wants to with SEAL Team 6. He's just going to go out and kill everybody. And much like he did the first time. You've got people who are angry that the powers that be, that the staffers, he's blaming his staff now. Joe's blaming his staff for all this. This debacle. Well, I just had one bad night. I played that audio yesterday of what he, you know, his little thing on Morning Joe. Angry old man came back out again. And he was sassy. Spitfire. Just sound like an angry old man to me. I've never heard Donald Trump sound like that. Never. But you know, Donald Trump is the bad guy. Donald Trump is the angry, mean, off the rails individual. We have to save our democracy by voting for Joe. There are people now coming out saying, "I'd rather vote for Joe if he's pooping his pants than vote for this guy who's a Nazi." Now the thing I called and I. It didn't take him long to put this together. When I first heard the thing about immunity and all that stuff and everything, I immediately thought, well, now they're going to say Joe could use this because Joe's the current sitting president. And it wasn't about Donald Trump. It was about the president in general, powers of the president. Now they're saying the president has too many powers. The president has too much power because they realize they may lose the presidency. So now they're going to try to limit the powers of the president. If they were, you know, if they're in charge, if their administration's in charge, the president can have all the powers he wants. He can be the king. Think about how ridiculous this is, that they're saying that if the country, it's not just that he's going to push his way in and become president. The country is voting for this guy to be the president, Donald Trump. They're voting for him to be the president. And they're saying we shouldn't have that option. These crazy people are all crazy. They're all insurrectionists, so they're going to vote for a convicted felon who's an insurrectionist. People died that day. Nancy Pelosi is still saying people were killed that day. Yeah. One of the protesters was killed in a very bizarre shooting. Very bizarre. That should never have been justified. I don't know how it didn't go any further than it did in the investigation. But that was a bizarre shooting, folks. That was very bizarre. I don't think he meant to kill anybody. At the same time, I know that his life, he didn't feel like his life was being threatened. No one's lives were being threatened at that point. There were police officers on the other side of that wall that he shot through. If I do that in my home, I would probably be facing all kinds of legal issues trying to fight that I was my life was being threatened if I shot through my door. And once that person crosses the threshold, it's a whole other story. They weren't through the door. They weren't through the window. They weren't threatening anyone with their life. She wasn't armed. This was just people breaking in. They knew it. Those officers, they could have just stood there, and all those people would have just walked right past them. And they know that. They weren't coming in there to lynch them, to kill them. I'm going to kill everybody in this room. No, that wasn't his life was not in danger. Well, I'm protecting the Capitol. No, you're not. Everybody's already off in the safe room. What are you protecting? A building. The podium. So here's what we're hearing now. I've got some audio for you this morning. This is some actor, actress, whatever she is. I don't know how she identifies. She seems to think, this was via Sky News Australia, thank you very much. They're one of the most grounded. Sky News Europe is terrible, extremely socialist. Sky News, I don't know how this works. Sky News Australia, now of course most of these people are actors. I think the people at Sky News Australia seem to be really down to earth, like real people, like they really believe what they're talking about. Maybe they're not, but they sure do seem to like to be straightforward, conservative individuals, which just blows my mind, especially in Australia. I've been to Australia. It's not necessarily a conservative country, surprisingly enough. It is. You would think it would be, and with the outback, with everything being there, you'd think it's the Wild West, and you'd think it would be much more conservative than it is. It's just that they would have more principles about those kinds of things, but they are much more socialist than you would think. Maybe it's just the idea of being an island and being able to. But they're having immigration issues as well, which is blows my mind that you have immigration issues on an island. This isn't, at the same time that everybody else in the world, the entire Western culture is being invaded. It's not just America. It's not just Australia and Europe. It is the entire Western culture. Any place that there's Western culture, government structures, they're being invaded by the millions. This is not just happenstance. So, here's what it led to. Now, and this is what I've was talking about. Last week I was even talking about this. The left is going to use this immunity thing to call for the assassination of Donald Trump. Now, why would you assassinate a guy if he could possibly win? Well, he might win, and then we lose our democracy, lose our country. No, this is the country. He represents the country, and the people who want him to be their representative, you're going to kill the people that, you're going to kill the person who the people want to be their representative. That is fascism, folks. That is Marxist, militant Marxist fascism. This is Mussolini stuff. And yet they're still calling Donald Trump literally Hitler. He's literally Hitler. Literally. He's literally Hitler. So he Hitler apparently didn't die, and he just sprung up here again, and he's Donald Trump. Changed his name to Donald Trump at some point. Now he's literally Hitler. That's literally 1940. Let's listen to this lady. Pardon the cuss words that she says. They bleep them out pretty good, but you can still tell what she's saying. But these are the kind of people we're dealing with. You just have to bleep out half of what they say because it's vulgar. So let's go on with this. Let's see what she has to say. Well, is it going to play or not? Going to play? To play. Here we go.
Joe, you're a reasonable man. You don't want to do this, but here's the reality. This is a f***ing war. This is a war now, and we are fighting for our f***ing country. And these a**holes are going to take it away. They're going to take it away. Joe, you now have the right to take that Trump out. Take him out, Joe. If he was Hitler and this was 1940, you'd take him out. Well, he is Hitler and this is 1940. Take him the out.
So that's what this lady's saying. This is Hitler and this is 1940. What exactly is it? Can we again, this is where they have these platitudes. They come up with this, he's Hitler, he's a convicted felon, he's a liar, all these things, he's a racist. Please give me some examples of what you're talking about. Let's go through the list. Let's make a case. Let's make your case for you here. What is it? How many lies did we say that Donald Trump told at the debate? Well, every time he took a breath, he was lying. Okay. So it should be easy for you to pick five. One pundit said he said 26 lies. Another one said he was over 30. So apparently they're very accurate on their, you know. Now, if there was one or two difference between the two, you know, if one said 26 and one said 27 or 28, that would be a little bit more believable. When one says, you know, 10 more than the other one does, it's, well, now, okay, this is being very subjective here. And that's all we hear from Joe and his administration. Oh, he told lies. He told everything he said was lies. This was day one. I mean, from that very night, the first thing that Jill responded to after her puppet was up there on stage, she said, Donald Trump, what did Donald Trump do? He lied. And of course, everybody went with her because they had coached them before they went on air. This is what happens. They'll say, okay, this is the way this is going to go. I'm going to say this, and then everybody's going to join in. When I point at you, everybody's going to say, what did Donald Trump do? He lied. That's going to be what everybody's going to say. So all we hear is, he lied. He lied, 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 lied. Lie, 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 lie. So that's all he did. Okay, so this should be a very easy project for you. Here's your homework for you folks. For you folks on the left who just keep saying that Donald Trump lies. Just pick of those 26. Just, you know, what is that, like 20%, 25%? Just pick five. Pick five of them. We're waiting. What are five out of that 26 that you can just pick? The most prominent ones, the ones everybody would agree are lies. Pick those out and just give them to us. Because all we keep hearing about it was that he lied, the number of lies. There were times that he chose not to answer the question because Joe would say something stupid. And when the moderator would ask a question, they said, you can answer the question any way you want to. You can answer it as a response to what he said, or you can answer the question. It's up to you. Of course, that's kind of a trap, because now they're going to say, well, he didn't answer the question. He didn't answer the question. No, because he was actually in a debate, and he wanted to respond to what the other guy had said. So he used his time to respond to what the other guy said. He didn't answer the question, because it was more important that was quelled, that it was stopped. And of course, then I'd be, oh, he lied, just lied. He didn't answer the question, and he lied. This is how they operate. So this lady now is calling for Joe Biden to take him out. There are people, and she's serious, and there are people out there who think that this guy, they believe this idea that Donald Trump is such a monster, that this guy's literally Hitler, and it's literally 1940. This is how deranged they are. And I blame the news media for pumping people up with this crap. They are the ones who created this monster. They got everybody worked up and got folks, self-righteousness. And this idea that they're going to virtue signal how correct and right they are and just they are and what they believe. Don't underestimate the power of that in a person. There are people who will try to step up and kill Donald Trump because they believe that they're going to be the hero. They're going to be the ones who saved the country from Hitler, this lady's there. This lady happens to have a platform and everybody can hear her. How many other people are out there who want to be somebody in the world? They want to have a purpose in the world. And they're deranged in the head. And they've been pumped up with this idea. And I've met some people like this. And it is absolutely scary that these people are out there. Because there's no reasoning with them. You can confront them and get to the point where they kind of stand down. I don't know. But that doesn't change who they are. They're still off the rails, and they still believe the end justifies the means. This is where they're at with this stuff. There's another guy, and this hammers my point even home, probably even a little bit more. This guy, I don't know who he is. I don't even know if he has a platform, but they found this guy somewhere. But this guy makes the argument that I've made in the past, that they're finally putting together the fact that, hey, well, Joe Biden has the, but there's a problem with this theory, but it's their narrative and that they're putting it out there because they want to make it sound like, oh, the president can do this now. He can just get rid of his political enemies. Well, wait a minute. Our president can get rid of the political enemies. That means Joe can do it. But there's a problem with it. We'll discuss it after we hear this guy. Here's the guy talking. And unfortunately, he's just as deranged as the last one. Let's hear what he has to say.
Since they say that a president is immune
from
prosecution for anything he does officially while he's in office, I think that Joe Biden should officially have Donald Trump killed off. And that would solve this problem of him being too stupid to run our country for 4 more years because he's brain dead.
I assume he's talking about Biden there, the brain dead part. That would solve the problem of, you know, what? So he put this together, that the Supreme Court said that, you know, that he can has immunity to do this. I don't know that it's an official part of the official acts of the president to kill off his opponents. See, they're trying to justify this with, well, he's saving the country because this guy's a threat to our democracy. He's being elected by the democratic process. He's a threat to the Democrat Party. He's a threat to the deep state. Which brings me to another point. The deep state wants Biden gone and Donald Trump to not win. The deep state knows right now. Now, I guarantee you there are some people in the deep state. There are some people in the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and the OSI. I guarantee you there are some people out there high up in those organizations who have an insurance policy. Remember that? That little term we heard from the FBI, from Peter Strzok? You think he was a one-off, that nobody else like that exists in any of these high up places? Alphabet soup organizations? I guarantee you there are people like that right now, this minute, who are sitting there twiddling their thumbs waiting for all this to pan out. And they're saying, if all this goes down and Donald Trump ends up being elected in November, it's a long time between November and January. And even after January. And I think that the VP pick is going to be crucial. If Nikki Haley ends up being the VP pick, you can kiss the country goodbye. You can kiss Donald Trump's presidency goodbye. He will die in office. If they can get to the VP, if they can be controlled by some kind of a scandal, that's the thing about Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't care. Scandal, whatever. And that's why when James Comey walked into the president's office, tried to shake him down with this idea that the dossier about, you know, him hiring hookers to pee on a bed, that Barack Obama slept in. And people believe that crap. When they presented Donald Trump with that dossier, and he just kind of, it's whatever. He knew it wasn't true. And even if it was, he wouldn't care. It's not a big deal. So what? What does this have to do with running a country? What are we doing here? If it would have been true, that would have been Donald Trump's response. Well, so what? What are you getting at? So you're going to put that out in public? So what? Donald Trump doesn't care about that kind of stuff. That's what they hate about this guy. Now, I have a tendency to not, one of my personal, it's actually more of a problem than sometimes than it is. I don't know if it's a strength or a weakness, really. Frankly, it's just a difference, I guess. I don't have much of a, I have a lot of respect for money. Okay, I understand I've lived through some times when, I understand the value of a dollar. I understand the value of work. Working hard, and people who work hard and who are struggling to get by. What it takes to earn a dollar. I fully get that. I totally get that. Believe me, I have been through some very extremely rough times in my life where it was hard to make a dollar, it was hard to make ends meet, where things just were not going well. I was 17 when I graduated high school. I had a lot of life experience in the first 4 or 5 years during that time. I learned a lot about life, about value of a dollar. Unfortunately, I made a lot of mistakes, and that's how I learned a lot of those things. Well, going through that process and seeing what money can do to people, and there was other experiences I had where I saw that how money, people who had money, treated other people and how they responded and acted with their money and what they did with their money, what they said about their money and what they did about their money sometimes were two different things. Now, money is very important. Don't get me wrong. In fact, Scripture talks a lot about how we manage our wealth. And wealth is very different than money, by the way. But that's, somehow in this whole process, I've gotten to a point where money does not really motivate me like most people, majority of people in the world. You could offer me $1 million to do something and that would probably turn me off, actually. Even if it was a good thing, I'd either really back up from that. It's not that I'm opposed to money. Money's a good thing, but I would seriously have to think about all the cons to that whole thing. There's typically strings attached to any kind of money that somebody's offering you. Now, if I'm earning it, if I'm being paid, if I'm negotiating a payment for something I'm doing, that's a whole different story. In the business of voiceover work, that happens quite often, and sometimes depending on what the project is and what the coverage is, all those kinds of things, is it a national advertisement? What is this going to be? Is it going to be a local thing? Somebody's going to put it on their internet just for, it's just if it's some kid doing a cartoon. That's very, it's the whole thing varies tremendously in negotiation. And if they're negotiating in good faith, most of them will tell me, This is the budget we have for the voiceover, and this is where we're going to go. And if it's something I don't want to do because it's gonna, I know it's going to take, and typically it's the, believe it or not, it's the low paying ones that are the toughest ones to do sometimes. Somebody wants to give you $200 or $300 to do a 30-second voiceover or 1-minute voiceover. They're the pickiest ones, and it ends up taking hours because they get really picky about stuff, and they don't know what they're doing themselves. So that's it, and I'm having to deal with that. It's the professionals who call, and 45 minutes later, the job is done, and they send you a check for ridiculous amounts of money. That's where it's really, you have to do those kinds of negotiations. Well, money doesn't affect me. And I even had an employer. I was working a part-time job. And I was putting in all kinds of time. And they weren't paying me any more than this, which was actually illegal. I didn't realize that that was illegal. They had me on a salary. It was a part-time job. So I was just putting in this many hours. Supposed to put in 15 hours a week. I was putting in 20, 30, 40, sometimes 50 hours in a week. And I was only getting, 15 hours of pay, which was at that time was like 10 bucks an hour. That wasn't what was motivating me. I was doing it for a purpose. I wanted to get the job done. The completion of the job was more important to me. And they kind of set me up for failure right off the bat. But it was one of those things where they put me in this position, and then they were trying to get me motivated to do certain things. And they couldn't figure me out because money wasn't a motivator for me. Which is surprisingly, because this was actually a religious organization. Which was weird on my part that they were trying to manipulate me with that part of it. And then at the same time, it was weird on my part that they were trying to manipulate me. I was amazed that they were trying to actually use money to manipulate. No, this is, I would rather have a sense of purpose in this whole thing than get paid. You don't understand. I worked for many years as a volunteer in many different situations. And I just have that mentality. I just have that ability to say, oh, this isn't about the money. This is more about the purpose. And I'm all in. And they had a hard time with that. Because they couldn't manipulate me with the money. I'm realizing that's a rare thing, I guess, in most situations. And I'm not saying it's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It is just a different thing. The problem with it is money doesn't motivate me. The good part is that money doesn't motivate me. The bad part is money doesn't motivate me. Now, I recently took on a job, changed positions changed companies that I was working for. And a lot of it had to do with money, but it also had to do with quality of life, and the money happened to come along with that. They actually had a much better deal. They offered me really more what I was worth in terms of longevity than my previous employer. Of course, my previous employer is still begging me to come back. That ain't going to happen. So here we are. These people are now calling for the assassination of Donald Trump by Joe Biden. Openly doing this in media. And nothing is happening to these people. They're not getting calls from the FBI. They're not getting calls from the Secret Service. Because they're telling the president to do it. Here's the problem with the president. Now, if Joe Biden himself goes over and shoots Donald Trump on his own, just picks up his gun and goes over there, picks up Hunter's gun, finds Hunter's gun in the trash can near a school, and goes over to the Donald Trump headquarters there and just shoots him, he still wouldn't have immunity, folks. He would not have immunity. First of all, he'd be impeached, convicted in that case, and then the civil court could then go after, not the civil court, but the actual criminal court then could go after him for that. He'd be convicted of murder. And it would be a capital offense because it's a former president. If a SEAL team were ordered by by Joe Biden, if he ordered a SEAL Team 6 to go over there and kill Donald Trump, first of all, the commanding officer that he's giving those orders to, if he accepts that order, he has to realize he is going against his Hippocratic, his constitutional oath. You don't take an oath to a president, you take an oath to the Constitution, to the people. And this idea that, this, of course, I've heard about this Civil War thing where the government, there's this battle against the government, the Civil War, and I guess there's a movie now called Civil War that's out there, and people are talking about the accuracy of it. But this is, again, where people strain it on that and swallow a camel. They look at this kind of thing, and they're going, this helicopter wasn't actually a Black Hawk. These ammunition rounds were not actually, you know, real bullets. They were, you know, they could see in the movie here they were blanks. And they could tell, whatever it is, this uniform isn't the quite proper uniform. It's a movie. They're telling a story. Okay, first of all, just don't get so involved in those little details. And I get it, because when I'm watching a movie about something and a particular industry I've been involved in, I look at it and I go, that's not the way it works. Now, if it was actually the way something, if it detracts from the story or makes the story less believable, it's like, what's one of those things? Okay, that's, now if it's just, okay, they're shooting blanks, not shooting real bullets. Okay, well, whatever. I don't care about that. What do you expect? It's a movie. At least they're shooting something. It's not just CGI. It's not a cartoon. His uniform didn't have the proper insignia on it. Oh, come on, whatever. Were the orders he was giving, were they accurate? Does that actually happen that way? That's what gets me. He gave him an order that he wouldn't, you know, would never have given a soldier. Okay, so whatever. Anyway, so this idea that the Civil War breaks out, and of course then the army is coming in and shooting up people. Okay, first of all, the army's made up of our citizens. Now, NATO might come in, people from other countries might come in and decide they're going to come in and help us. All the civil unrest, they have to come in, and those people don't care because they don't have relatives here. When you start asking people to shoot on their own people, we're going to call up the Arkansas Reserves right out there in Fayetteville, and we're going to call them up, and we're going to have them go in and strafe everybody in town. No, that ain't going to happen, because half of them are all related to each other. Not going to shoot their cousins. This is one of the fallacies about the U.S. military. Well, you better have an F-15. You're going to come up against, you know, come against our military. No, because the guy driving the F-15 is wearing a MAGA hat. See where I'm coming from with this? They're part of the people. They're not just robots. And yeah, some of them are. Some of them will obey. They're so afraid of disobeying an order that they. But there are some folks out there, and it only takes one to start a movement. And one of them says, this is an unconstitutional order, I'm not doing it. I guarantee you, people in SEAL Team 6, they're taught to think on their own. And they'll look at that and they'll go, you know what, this is, not, one of them might, but they're not going to go if nobody else is going. One of them might say, oh, yeah, we have to obey orders. You're going to have a hard time finding people in the military. Now, Department of Defense, DOD, they probably have some people. Contractors, especially. They could tap on the shoulder and say, hey, this is your mission. Should you choose to accept it, we will deny and denounce anything we know about you. Those organizations, by the way, exist. The famous movie series that is out there. What is it called? This is your mission, should you choose to accept it. I can't even think of the name of it right now. Can't even think of the name of the actor. Fortunately, I don't pay much attention to those people. But it was a movie. It's a show. It was actually a series on television I used to watch all the time. Mission Impossible. And I used to watch that all the time. And it was back when I was a kid. Of course, not Mission Impossible, now a movie series. And you've got what's his name? Top Gun Maverick guy. What's his name? I don't know. Scientologist. Yeah. Whatever his name is. I just blow my mind. I can't think of his name right now. Got too many other things on my head. So here we are, another 45-minute show. And I'm pointing out the fact that they are calling. And this is, you know, if for every one of these, there's 1,000 of them out there. This is the law of typical numbers, the statistics on this kind of stuff. By the way, every time a congressman gets a phone call, I believe they think they're whenever they get a letter or a phone call, someone with an opinion or talking about what their issue is. Whenever they get that, they assume there are at least, I think it's 1,000. It might be 10,000. Because they don't get that many letters and phone calls. If they get 100 phone calls leaning a particular direction, it might be 10,000 people that person represents. If they get three phone calls one way and two phone calls the other way, they assume that that's the way their constituents are, that they, that, you know, a little over half of their constituents. So that represents, you know, if they got 1 million people in their district, it must be 10,000. I think one phone call, one. Now, when you get an organized group doing it, you might get hundreds of letters or phone calls, typically those letters are all look exactly alike. So they kind of have to reevaluate the algorithms at that point. Because if it's just a random people, like what I do, I don't listen to what people tell me to do, organizations. I just get out there and I just pay attention, and then I write letters. I don't write very many, but when I do, it's usually scathing. When they're doing their job and they're doing a positive job, I usually don't say much of anything. But when somebody like Mike Braun, after the 2020 election, I let him know. Actually, it might have been, was it after the 2016 election? It might have actually been at the midterms, 2018. But I believe it was sometime in the, I think it was 2020, or 2019 or 2020. He made some statements and did some things, and it might have actually been after the election, after the January 6th. I can't remember exactly where it was, but I know I sent a letter, and I was pretty upset. I'm pretty sure that it was before 2020 because, yeah, I know it was because I know that Jackie Walarski was still alive at that time, so I'm pretty sure it was prior to that. Because I wrote her a letter too. I was upset with some things that she had said. So I was busy writing letters, and I just decided to write all those letters. So there you go. But so they take your letter seriously. It's like one letter. You're representing more than one person. They're not just, don't just think you're a drop in the bucket when you do that. Here, let's look at this. I think it might say here when she passed away. Just to find out here real quick. 2022, she passed away. So it probably was after the January 6th thing. Yeah. August 3rd, 2022. She was 61 years. She'd be 61 years old today. She's a year younger than me. She always seemed like she was older than me. Because she's just, maybe just because she's more mature. Growing up, acting like more of an adult. I don't know. Anyway, that's all I've got to say for today, folks. I just wanted to bring this up, that the left is now putting this together and saying, oh, well, now Joe Biden needs to go in there and kill this guy. Because he could, why would you do that if you thought you were going to lose? The problem is they think he's going to win. What does that tell you about what they believe about democracy? They don't believe in democracy. They believe in their rule, their power, their authority. They are fascists. That's what we're dealing with here, folks. 12-year-old Marxists that are fascists, Mussolini types. And that's what we have to deal with. So, folks, continue to pray for our nation. Pray for Donald Trump. Pray for Joe Biden. He really needs to hear the truth. God bless, folks. Have a great day. We will talk to you tomorrow morning, I think.